the show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
Oh, hi. Yes, it is. That's our cue, naturally. It is Bucket Strategy Investing. Another hour is getting underway. That's right. So prepare yourselves for whatever may be coming down the line this hour. I'm Johnny Dean. Our professor is the guy we call the professor, known in official circles as Rick Plum. He's here with me from Lucia Capital Group, ready to answer your money questions. We're going to dive right into this hour's strategy session. Got a lot of topics on the table, including the sequence of returns, a thing that we really didn't get to last hour. I do want to cover that this hour and talk to you about why it's important to have a strategy when you retire, because you don't always have the choice as to when you retire. And even if it is your choice, what if you, quote unquote, retire at the wrong time? Meaning that the stock market takes a big dive right as you retire. And you say, my portfolio, what happened to my portfolio? So anyway, you don't want to have to take a cut in pay. You just don't want the markets to have to dictate how much money you have in retirement. That's bad. So we should get to that sometime this hour, along with some more of your emails. In fact, we'll start with an email or two in just a bit. Your phone calls take priority. So right now we got every line open. This is like the one time all day where we've had every line open. So give us a call right now. You can keep it right here for the best in money information. We're going to cover what you need to know about money, money strategies, etc. So now, I said those emails, you send them directly to us at wealthed.com at the Find Your Answer link near the top of the page. But we do take phone calls first on the show. So if you need your question answered right away, as in right now, you call our number in the studio, 877-PLANNER, 877-752-6637. And a reminder, you can also get in touch with the Brain Trust off the air at just about any time of the day. The number there, it's at Lucia Capital Group, 800-644-1150. And I'm going to say it again, you need a personalized Bucket Strategy, one that's designed with your goals and needs in mind. You call Professor Plum or anyone at Lucia Capital Group at that number, 800-644-1150. You can schedule an appointment with a Brain Trust advisor. Get yourself a Bucket Strategy, the one that we talk about. And we'll talk about at some point in this hour. Again, that's 800-644-1150. We thank them for sponsoring this hour of the program, as they have for these many years. 877-PLANNER, that's our number on the air, 877-752-6637. So I want to get to an email here. It's kind of a long one, so let's just see where this goes. You can answer this along the way too, Professor Plum, if you have enough information. This from Jing Jing, if I'm saying that right, in Morris Plains, New Jersey. My husband has a non-deductible IRA, $40,000, $25,000 basis. He's 55, makes $210,000 a year, and expects to have a 5% raise every year for 10 years. Wow.
Nice.
He plans to work till age 65. For the next 10 years, he will not be able to do the Roth because of the income limits. So he wants to do a conversion this year and for the next 10 years. He can do non-deductible IRAs and immediately convert to a Roth. Now, here's what he's got. He's got $750,000 in a 401k, $85,000 in a Roth, and will continue to do the max 401k contributions every year until 65. He's also getting a pension of $2,000 a month and Social Security of $2,600 a month. So he's got a lot here, Professor Plum.
He's got a lot going on.
Right. Now, she wants to know, if he converts this year, we're going to pay a huge tax.
Obviously. You're going to pay some, but you can avoid that tax, at least to some degree.
Well, she wants to know, let me get the question. Do you think we should just leave it there until he's 65, then our income will be lower, so we may pay less tax when it's withdrawn, but if he does not convert this year, then for the next 10 years, both of us have to do the non-deductible traditional IRA?
Well, and that's what I was going to get to.
Well, yes.
He has $40,000 in traditional IRA value. Of that $40,000, that's all he has in IRAs, $25,000 is basis, after-tax contributions. So there's about $15,000 of of pre-tax money. Either he converts the $40,000 and pays tax on the $15,000, that's the big tax you were talking about, it'd probably be about $5,000 in taxes on that $40,000 conversion, or he can transfer the $15,000 of pre-tax money from his IRA to his 401k. Now he's got a $25,000 IRA, total value is 25, total base is 25. He can do his 2015 and 16 non-deductible contributions to it, and then convert it to a Roth IRA, and there's no tax on it. And then every year after that, for as long as they allow the backdoor Roth, he can do the backdoor Roth. Make the non-deductible traditional IRA contribution, convert it to a Roth IRA. And so you can do it with either a tax of $5,000 or $6,000 by converting the 40 over, or you can make the pre-tax money disappear by rolling it to a 401k and just do the basis. So that wouldn't pay any taxes then.
Yeah, so it may not be necessarily as bad as she thinks. Now, taxes are kind of the driving force here, I guess, either way.
Mm-hmm.
She says, I'm not working. I'm 59 years old. Since my traditional IRA has both deductible and non-deductible money, it's more complicated.
Did she mention how much in non-deductible money
she didn't
had?
Say that, I don't think.
She mentioned her traditional IRA is $65,000, but she didn't tell me how much of her traditional IRA is after-tax money. If the majority of it is after-tax money, then I may do the same thing with hers. If the majority of it is pre-tax money, I'm not likely to do the conversion of hers. Now, the problem is she's not working. And typically, even though she has a 401k at her former employer, you'd have to ask them very nicely if they would let you roll in any money into that 401k. I haven't seen that happen very often. But hey, you know, worst thing they can do is tell you no. And so say, can I roll over some money to this 401k even though I'm no longer an employee? I still have the plan. Is it okay if I roll over $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 into the plan? And if so, if by chance they say yes, you can do exactly the same thing I outlined for your husband. Roll over all the pre-tax money, leaving only after-tax money in your IRA, and convert it. Now you can do the after-tax Roth two-step, you know, combo.
Yeah.
The problem is if you don't do that, if you continue to have pre-tax money in your IRA, every conversion you make, every time you do that backdoor Roth
percentage,
some of it will be taxable. Now, it may be a small percentage. It may be worth paying a little bit over time to be able to do it, but it all depends on how much basis you have in your IRA versus current value. We know the current value, we don't know the basis.
Yeah, and we've said before too, if the basis is quite small compared to the entire
value
of the IRA, some people just say, you know, the amount of work it takes, and I'll pay a little bit of extra tax. I'll pay tax on the money again, and we'll just move the whole thing over.
We had this with somebody the other day where they had about $800,000 in their IRA, and $6,000 of it was after-tax contributions. Less than 1%.
Right, yeah. And so you say, well, okay, so 99% of this is going to go over as is whatever I convert, 99% of that amount is going to be taxable. Less than 1% will be non-taxable. So I need to fill out this form.
8606.
And the amount of money that, you know,
my accountant may charge me $50 and it's going to save me $20 in taxes. It's not worth paying the accountant to do the, I don't know what the accountant would charge.
No, whatever it was.
But there is a cost benefit analysis that needs to be done at that point.
So Jing Jing, I tell you what, if you want to let us know how much of that is basis, we might be able to more completely answer the questions. She did say, please give us some advice. I listen to your show at Biz TV regularly and have learned a lot. It's a great show. I know Rick, the Professor Plum, has an answer for me. I really want to call during your show, but feel nervous about calling the show, so I choose to send this question by email. Thanks. Well, that's okay. I mean, that's why we have the email set up there. So that's really what we're missing right there.
Right, but I think that it does make some sense to especially for her husband, to potentially do that and then do the backdoor Roth. And the other side of it is he's got $40,000 there now, $25,000 after tax. If he wants to do the backdoor Roth, he can spread the taxable event of that $15,000 of current pre-tax money over the next 10 years, because every time he does a conversion, a portion of it is going to be taxable, a portion is not. So instead of showing $15,000 of taxable event in 1 year, he shows, you know, $1,500 a year for the next, $1,800 a year for the next 10 years.
And it's a good thing to be thinking about, especially at age 55, because if he did nothing and he let this roll and he kept the money in the 401k the whole time, age 70 and a half, there could be, you know, well over $1 million in there.
Well, and we've talked about it before too. Every time, once he gets out to retirement, he starts taking money out of the IRA, same thing for Jing Jing, you're going to have to file that 8606 every year or pay tax again on that non-taxable money in the IRA. I'd like to sanitize this by the time I get to retirement so I don't have the 8606 form to file for the rest of my life.
Good point there. Good point. So really, the main question is if they really want to separate these things out, if there's a way to get that money back into a 401k.
That makes it a lot easier and cleaner. Otherwise, just, you know, figure it out. You've got $40,000 in there now. You're going to add $6,500 a year to it. So you want to do $8,000 a year in conversions. Well, you're going to pay a little tax on it every year. Mm-hmm. Not a lot, a little bit, but that lessens the pain. It's like ripping the Band-Aid off slowly.
But if you, once again, if the basis is small in this, it may just not even be worth it. Pay tax twice on a little bit and be done.
Forget
with
the
it.
Headache.
And be done with it, right. Nothing wrong with that, you know, because I do think it'll be worth, you'll be thanking yourself 15 years from now and for the rest of your life, perhaps, when you're doing these required minimum distributions and you're filling out the forms. Oy and vey. Okay, I got to take a break. Thank you very much for the emails. More to come. We got some lines open. Finally, call 877-PLANNER, PLANNER. Any money question you have, we're here to answer it for you. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, the Brain Trust from Lucia Capital Group. We're coming right back right after this. Market strategy investing, rolling along, answering your questions. 877-PLANNER, PLANNER, 877-752-6637. Do we have a little bit of room on the phones? I should remind you, too, that we've got some workshops coming up. We have a few more workshops coming up, and I need you to take advantage of the fact that the Brain Trust is going to be in town. So where you go, you go to wealthed.com. There's a live events tab. Right there. In fact, I'll tell you what, I'll just mention right now, because I haven't done this for a while, where the Brain Trust is going to be specifically. Coming up here in about a week and a half, right? Where are we now? Yes. Saturday, April 9th, Houston, Texas. If you're in Houston, we would love to see you there. The Brain Trust standing by in Houston, Professor Plum, Terry Keyes, etc. Going to be joining the folks in Houston, Texas for a workshop, 2016 Retirement Income Strategies. Join the Brain Trust there in Houston, Saturday, April 9th. Also, Saturday, April 30th, Santa Clara, California. That's another one. I would love to see you there in Santa Clara. And there will be more, possibly, for the month of May. We're still working on that. So if you want to, if we're not in a city where you happen to be and haven't been there all spring, you just contact us there at wealthed.com and say, hey, come on out. And we will do our best to do that for the fall series. Again, wealthed.com. Okay, 877-PLANNER. Let's move along. Nick is up next in Las Vegas, Nevada. Hello, Nick.
Hi. My question, a few years ago, you discussed how long after a particular tax year the IRS normally conducts an audit if they're going to do so. At that time, you said it's usually the third year, like if it was 2013, why it would be 2016 when you normally would get audited. I was wondering, has anything changed with recent experience you've had or knowledge?
They seem to be getting to it a little bit quicker. A lot of times they'll get the easy things to pick out, like a missed 1099 or income not matching, the income that they show that they've been told about through 1099s and W-2s not matching on your return, or something from a computerized informational issue not matching. They usually find those fairly quickly, within a year or so. Once you get past that, they usually don't. I've never been contacted or heard of anybody being contacted initially after a 2 to 3 year period of time. Now, if they do find something 2 to 3 years from now, they start looking at you more closely, they can go back years past that. But if you're worried about maybe my 2013 return wasn't exactly kosher, as long as I make it to 2016, I'm in the clear. You know, the odds of them catching it may be a little small, unless maybe in 2017 you do something wrong, and then they go back and look at every one of your years, and if they suspect fraud, then they're going to go after every year that you've ever done it. But typically, I've not heard of anybody being contacted initially after a 2 or 3 year period of time.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Nick, thank you for the
call. Now, if they contact you about your 2010 return, you can't sit there and say, well, Rick said you're not, it's too late. No, that's just what I've seen. That's by no means
generally, a
large sampling of the IRS tax returns that are out there.
Well, yeah, and generally, other than obvious errors that the computers catch immediately, like, you know, lack of signatures or, you know, W-2 income, that kind of thing, they aren't going to necessarily find anything for a couple of years, because it takes some time for those returns to go through all processing.
Right.
And so typically, the I think it was 3 years back. If they don't see anything that relates to fraud, then they don't generally go back more than 3 years, three tax years.
Right, and the only reason they go back more than three or four tax years, even on fraud, is that they suspect something from you now. So they're looking at your return now. And we see this is more common where they find a tax preparer or some kind of legal professional that does tax work, where they're creating these tax systems to avoid income tax. And they go after the tax preparer or the attorney that's creating the tax shelter, and they get a list, and they find out that this person's, you know, basically crooked, and they get a list of all of the people that have done work that this person's done work for, and they start following the trail back. And we've seen that especially with CPAs and accountants that were, you know, basically pushing the envelope, so to speak, where that you didn't get your return flagged because it didn't show up on your return, but you're going to get flagged because they went after the preparer, and now they're going through his account list. And they'll find you that way, and then they'll go back every year that you, that until you can show that you weren't doing
right.
The action that was a problem.
And it may not be CPAs and accountants; it may just be some tax preparer who, right. You know, for whatever reason, just has gotten into some trouble. We've
seen a lot of these tax avoidance,
yes,
you know, different schemes sold and presented and pushed.
Yes.
And they're not caught for a while. And the IRS, until they get big enough, the IRS doesn't even notice them. But then at some point in the future, the IRS may notice it, and they'll go and they'll shut down that company, and they'll just go back down the list and say, okay,
well,
you did it for all these people. We're going to look at every one of them.
Right. And at that point, this may have had, you may have done this 7, 8, 9 years ago. But at that point, they're saying, we're taking this list of people that this particular preparer had, and we're going to go back as far as
as many people as we can, because this was fraud.
Right. And so if you have that in your past,
you're still not out of the clear 3 years later.
You're not out of the clear because even if they don't contact you specifically just as a random audit, they could wind up taking, if you use one of these types of preparers, they could wind up getting lists. And everybody, it's like the whole tree is poisoned at that point.
Right. They just go down every branch where they can find a branch, and they look at everything. Because now they're basically hunting. They're looking for revenue. And they've got a good source. They got a good scent, and they're following it right to the end.
Well, they get, their raises and promotions based on how
yeah.
much you get. So, they don't really care about the revenue, but it helps them. Okay. So, since you mentioned this, I've been bringing this up with our TV audience only. And I'll just throw a few of these out. No real details, but it came up. If you want to know a couple of audit red flags, I think I threw a few of these in a month or so ago. But if you're still doing your taxes or whatever,
not doing mine anymore.
Not doing yours. You're done.
I'm done. But
some of them. And this is from the IRS. Making a lot of money. Well, okay. If you make a lot of money.
The higher the income, the more likely the audit. Still not a huge likelihood, but the percentage goes up the more income you make.
It does. So if the $200,000 seems to be a tipping point. If you make less than that, it's less than one out of 128 returns are audited, or at least that's from 2014. As you get higher than that, it goes up to about 2%, and if you report about $1 million, there's a 1 in 13 chance your return is going to be audited.
Well, that also comes into the complexity of the return, because if you're making $50,000 a year, it's likely you're an employee, you have a fairly straightforward return. If you're making $1 million a year, maybe you're a business owner, you've got investment property, you've got all these other areas that have, mm-hmm. Areas that can have problems with taxes.
Yeah, it's just more complicated, more things can go wrong, and not that you even necessarily did anything wrong, but it just means that they're going to look at it, and they're going to say, okay, you took these deductions, and so we need to look and make sure it's legit. About out of time, but anyway, failing to report all taxable income, if you don't do that.
That's a problem.
There's a problem.
They're going to catch that.
Yep, taking higher than average deductions.
There's nothing wrong with taking higher than average deductions if they're legitimate deductions.
So
just be prepared to support them.
That's it. They tell you, in fact, if you have proper documentation for your deduction, don't be afraid to claim it. There's no reason to ever pay the IRS more tax than you actually owe, which is absolutely true.
Just don't fib.
Running a small business can be, if you have a small business, can be an audit red flag because there are a lot of complications with that. There are more, but I just thought I'd bring those up. Okay, 877-PLANNER. We do have now four lines open, 877-752-6637. Room on the phones for you to ask your money questions. Some emails coming up and some more stuff on the sequence of returns. A lot of stuff to talk about when we come back on Bucket Strategy Investing. Bucket Strategy Investing, we're taking your calls till the top of the hour. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum. And emails, yeah, we'll get to a few more of those. If you want to email us and add to the list, you go to our website, Wealth, W-E-A-L-T-H, WealthEd, E-D, WealthEd.com, at the Find Your Answer link. And there are more, some more things you can find there, by the way, at WealthEd.com and at our Facebook page. We'll tell you more about that. Coming up here in just a little bit. 877-PLANNER is our number, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. We still have three lines open, so get on board now, 877-752-6637. All right, before we get to the stuff on sequence of returns, which I do want to get to, Mike in Sugarland, Texas has been hanging on for a little while, so we'll go to Mike next. Hi, Mike. I think.
Mike.
No? Oh, did we lose Mike? Okay. Hadn't heard from Mike for a while. Anyway, all right, well, if you're there, fine, or give us a call back. That's okay, too. 877-PLANNER. All right, well, I brought up sequence of returns. Now, we were talking about this last hour, if you missed it. Sequence of returns, Professor Plum, is essentially the idea. The risk is that if you retire at just the wrong time, in other words, the market takes a downward turn the first few years after you retire, and if you're just taking systematic withdrawals out of your portfolio, the way many people still recommend.
The most popular way to do it is a nice pretty pie chart that's balanced.
Because it's balanced. Because it's easy.
Well, it's very easy. And it's very, you know, we all want to be balanced. We all want to stay in balance. But when you have volatility and you're taking money out, that balance can be, you know, disrupted very quickly.
It can be. Now if you take market returns that are really, really, that are decent, the first 5-10 years that you retire, call it, or just the first 5 years, you can actually ride that wave quite well. It can do you very well during the course of your portfolio, depending on how you take the money out. The problem comes when the market takes a downward turn, as it did, say, if you retired in 2000 or late 1999, you know what we're talking about. If you retired in 2007 and you had expected your portfolio to be, you know, going up the way it had been, you found out the hard way. And the problem is you can't always, in fact, there are many times you cannot get that money back.
Well, no, once you've started selling in the downward trend, that money,
right,
it can't recover because it doesn't exist anymore. You already spent it. And so a lot of people will just tell you, we'll talk about this more tomorrow when we talk about the different distribution methods, just cut your spending. I don't like to cut my spending. So how do you get away from that negative sequence of returns, the risk of selling into a down market?
Mm-hmm.
It's very simple. Now, is it perfect? Will it cure everything in the world?
Yes.
Nothing cures everything in the world.
Dang.
Sorry, John. Not you.
I was hoping for a yes answer because I have a lot of
but
things that
need
to be cured.
But it does help. The idea is to create a safer bucket of money so that you can draw down both principal and interest from a safe account, while the more volatile areas that have the potential to outpace the distribution that you're taking has the ability to go through. And when I say through, I mean all the way through, including a recovery period.
Yes.
Now, that's where we don't know what's going to happen. So far in history, we've never not recovered. We've always recovered. Will that continue in the future? Yeah, that's to be seen.
Wait, have we recovered yet? Because we had a downturn in 2008 and 2009.
Yeah, we're recovered from that.
Okay, by stock market measures, I suppose that's true.
Right.
Which is where your bucket three would normally be.
Well, that's where now, the majority of the volatility is.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
But that also shows you how long of a safer type of an account that you have to have. A lot of people say just have 1 or 2 years worth of money in cash.
No.
And that'll help, you know, will help. That's true. It will help withstand a downturn. But would it have helped in 2002, you know, the 2000 downturn? Helped? Yes. Solved? No. Would it have helped if you had done this in 2007? And unfortunately lost your job even, or you retired in 2007 or lost your job in the downturn. No, because the market wasn't even at the bottom 2 years later. So you need a longer time horizon than just a year or two. The yeah. problem is we're all greedy individuals, and we want to have more rate of return than what a safer type of account will give us.
Well, greed plays a part.
Oh, now, it's a huge part.
Let's use this as an illustration to show you what we're talking about, folks. By the way, 877-PLANNER. If you have any questions on anything, 877-752-6637. We do have some room on the phones. Take two people, all right? Mr. Smith and Ms. Jones, because that's how they listed it here. Okay, start with $100,000. They're each going to take out, they have a 60% stock allocation, 40% bond. Very standard.
Yeah, because...
You know, very...
Well, that means that they're 60 years old. They took their 100 minus well, their age, and that's actually, how much they have in bonds or
they're
whatever.
They're actually 65.
Okay.
Okay, so now, Mr. Smith retires in 1969. Ms. Jones retires in 1979. That's significant. Okay? Now, they're each going to take $5,000 a year off. We're assuming identical portfolios.
And it doesn't, you know, 5%
distribution. 5%
distribution.
So, the first 10 years, Mr. Smith retires in 1969. But over the first 10 years, four of those years... if I counted correctly, four of those years between 1969 and 1979 were down years. Now, they weren't down a lot. Well, actually, one of them was 12%. And we had a couple of really good years, but there was a lot of volatility. We had some down years. Now, Mr. Smith, who started with a value of $100,000 in 1969, because of those four out of the first 10 years that he retired were down and he was taking systematic withdrawals, by 1989, 20 years, he's out of money. Now, his $100,000 was down to zero.
He was also inflation adjusting, yes?
It just says $5,000 annual withdrawal.
Not even inflation adjusting.
No inflation at all. If he had done an inflation adjustment, it would have been...
Even sooner
than that. Because he had experienced early down years in the market, he was out of money. Now...
Through no control of his own. He had no control the market was going to do.
No. He just happened to retire, I guess, at the wrong time.
But he had a balanced portfolio.
Now, let's take the same portfolio. Ms. Jones, who didn't retire in 1969, she retired in 1979.
Just happened to.
She started with $100,000, was taking $5,000 out of this, you know, balanced portfolio, systematic withdrawal, which we don't recommend, as Professor said, but okay. They're doing that. The first 10 years of her retirement, when she's taking money out, there wasn't a single down year. It was up as much as 23% in one of the years, 22 in one. There were some really good years there. In
fact, through no control of her own.
Of course not. But in fact, it wasn't until, I believe, it was 2000. So about the 21st, 22nd year where they had any downturn at all in the market.
Now, somebody may be saying, 1987 was in there. 1987 had a huge drop, but for the year, calendar year, January through December, it was a positive year.
It was 5.7% according to this chart. But anyway, where Mr. Smith, who had experienced those early, four out of the first 10 years of retirement, experienced some early down years, was out of money after 20 years. Ms. Jones, after 20 years, and instead of 100,000, her original 100,000 had turned into 262,000. And after 30 years, where Mr. Smith has been out of money for, 10 years, she's up to almost $591,000. Simply because she happened to retire at a time where the first, call it 10 years, had no down years. The early years were much kinder to her.
The sequence of her returns was positive.
Right.
The early sequence. The early sequence of his returns were predominantly negative. And that is a big issue. Now, neither one of them was able to predict what was going to happen in the market. Neither one of them had control over their age. They couldn't just... And this is a fallacy that most people... I'll just keep working longer. Well, what if you retired and then 5 years later is when the market starts taking a little crumble? You can't just go back to work. And so, unfortunately, working longer isn't always the answer. So
the
sequence of returns, which is completely out of your control, is one of the biggest threats to the portfolio. And that's because we just do a pro rata balanced distribution and we rebalance every year, every 6 months.
Well, we don't.
Well,
but
the portfolio managers
do. So the whole idea is not to guess when the best time is to retire, because you don't know. And it's out of your control most of the time. And even if it is in your control, you can't control the markets. What you can control is your strategy. And your strategy should have, Professor Plum, some form of safe money to draw from in the event that those early years are less than optimal. And you can't predict it precisely, but you can tell that there are times when the market is at historically higher levels than it is at historically lower levels.
But that doesn't mean that it won't go higher again
lower
again.
But what it does mean is that you've got to have enough safe money in your retirement accounts to draw from to allow, say, a minimum of 15 years to go by.
But we've got to change us. We still want to make money. We've got this portfolio. We get the question. We get 65, 70-year-olds asking us the question all the time. How do I make more money? What's the best return that I can get? Well, sometimes the best return you can get is not losing money, but people don't like that. I got to put my money in a bank account? Well, no, not all of it. But we've got to change us. We always want to try to chase return, chase yield. And that means going into more aggressive investments, more volatile investments. But when we're taking money out of the portfolio, that can be one of the biggest detriments to your retirement life. So we've got to take the greed factor out of it. Once you get to retirement, you're not there to get richer. You're there to hopefully not become poorer. And that's what you're trying to achieve.
Best way to gain, we often say, is to keep from losing. Or the best way to win is to keep from losing. Something like that. All right. 877-PLANNER, room on the phones. Another segment coming up. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum. It is Bucket Strategy Investing. Bucket Strategy Investing, talking a lot about this hour, about different distribution methods and sequence of returns. We just had a very nice segment on that. I hope you were able to follow that and listen to it. If not, you can find it probably at wealthed.com. But listen, coming up tomorrow on this program, we're going to continue this discussion a little bit in the first hour, talking about some of the different distribution methods that there are and the 4% rule, which we prefer Professor Plum to call a...
Guideline,
indeed. It's really not a rule. I don't know who made it a rule.
Well, even when they created it, it wasn't 4%. It was 4.5% back then.
Yeah, it was 4.5%. Or was it originally 5?
It was 6.
Or 6, okay. Well, what we're talking about is how much do you take safely, and that's a relative term, out of your portfolio every year. 6% way back in the day, I don't know, maybe. And then they go back and somebody says, well, you know, it's really not going to last during these times, so we're going to change it down to 4.5. Well, we round it down to 4. Now there are some who say that it should be only 2.8% is what I think I saw.
1.9 to 3.0 is the latest set.
1.9. Okay, so you got $1 million. You can only take safely out of your portfolio $19,000 a year.
If you want it to last for a full 30 years under the worst case scenarios that we've seen in history... Even worse than the worst case scenarios that we've seen in history, because we took all the bad years and put them together under a Monte Carlo simulation. But we'll talk about it tomorrow.
We'll talk about it tomorrow. And I think it might actually lead into some kind of buckets type discussion.
Well, we got to find a way around the problems created by the pro rata distribution.
Exactly. The pro rata distribution creates a whole lot of problems, because you don't want to say, well, I guess I could just take less this year. Because the market was down, I have some bills to pay.
I want to take more. I'm retired. I have fun. I want to go out and enjoy it.
Exactly. This isn't what retirement is supposed to be like, right? Wrong. All right. Anyway. Okay. That is coming up tomorrow. 877-PLANNER, our number. Okay. So a little bit of trivia. This is a longer one. I'm going to shorten this one. We got this from the Federal Reserve, who is rather wordy. But what they're trying to tell us is this. This has to do with this. Remember quantitative easing?
QE Infinity?
Which I don't know. I guess it's over. Maybe they'll do it again. But over the last 7 calendar years, that's between 2009 and 2015, the Fed has taken $565 billion out of the economy, equal to $81 billion a year. Now you might say, well, how is that possible? Well, by doing what's essentially a stock buyback, is a bond buyback, and issuing fewer bonds, taking them back, that's $565 billion that would have been issued from the government as interest being paid to bondholders.
So the Fed gave investors cash, they took over the bonds, and the interest earned on those bonds totaled $510 billion, and they gave that back to the Treasury.
Yes, the amount of, exactly.
Well, instead of letting you earn it.
It just disappeared, right. They just took it, it's a number on a balance sheet. So what happened is, you know, you had a savings bond, right? You had a $10,000 savings bond. It matured, or you decided to get rid of it or whatever. So you moved it from your savings account to your checking account. That's what happens when you cash in a bond, right? And so instead of issuing a new bond and giving it to somebody else, they said, no, we're keeping some of these. And so all on their little balance sheets, they said, well, we're going to, quote unquote, pay ourselves. Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, that's money that doesn't exist and never existed and doesn't go out into the economy.
$510 billion that is not in the investors' hands to go out and spend it on something else.
$565 billion.
Oh, sorry.
Actually, that's right. That is just would have been in the economy and was removed. And yet they're telling you that this is helping you. Sorry. Just went to the Bahamas for a second there. I mean, the gall of these people.
To visit your money? The Cayman Islands?
What?
You went to visit your money in the Cayman Islands?
No. It's an old Steve Martin line. Anyway, all right. That's your trivia. It gets your blood boiling like it does mine. But go ahead, Federal Reserve, keep sending me stuff. I like to hear this. This is good. Okay, let's, the next email. We got time, sure. Luann in Milwaukee, is it possible to invest $500,000 and receive an 8% rate or better and not lose principal? And then the suggestion, she says, what do you suggest? Thank you. So, well, that's...
Well, in today's economic environment, it is not reasonable to invest any amount of money and get an 8% return without some risk to principal. And reality is without a lot of risk to principal. Now, I think I know where she may be coming from because she hears these ads. 8% guaranteed returns, market-like returns if they're better with no risk to principal. And those are, they're lying. It doesn't work that way. There is a risk to your principal in that. There is, the 8% return is not a real return. So there is nothing out there that is paying 8% that doesn't have some risk to principal. There's nothing there. What do I suggest?
Right.
I suggest we take a look at what your goals are and find a way maybe to meet your goals. But 8% is too high of a distribution rate. It's too high of an expected earning rate when you're trying to draw money out of it.
I guess you can if you're willing to take risk.
They weren't.
Well,
without losing principal.
Well, without guaranteed not to lose principal. I mean, I know people who go to Las Vegas and invest $500,000 and get 100%. They don't lose any principal. But there's risk there, obviously.
More so than not.
Well, yeah. You know, and you're right. You're hearing those. I'm hearing ads out of a Los Angeles station. I'm sure there are others, too, a radio station, that's saying that this is a pretty much guaranteed 7% rate of return.
Nope.
And they're selling these real estate investment trusts.
Estate investment trusts do have fairly high distribution rates. I mean, 5, 6, 7%. Some of them are as high as 8%. But that's not a guaranteed distribution, and it's not without some potential risk to the principal.
And not to mention the illiquidity in this case.
Liquidity is one of the big issues. But have you ever known a time where real estate values may go down for a little while? Yeah, I mean, it happens. Doesn't mean that it's going to happen all the time. And typically, if you can hold on long enough, especially if you own the property directly, you probably, as long as you're not overly leveraged, can do okay. But it's not an 8% rate of return. It's something less. Now, distributions are different than the principal guarantees. There are insurance companies that will give you an 8% distribution, depending on your age. You know, you're 75 years old. You give them $100,000, they'll give you $8,000 a year. But there's risk to the principal because every year that with some of that money is your principal coming back.
Tell you what, you give me $100,000, I'm going to give you a 10% every
payout.
Year. I'm going to give you a 10% payout every year for 10 years, guaranteed.
Right. Is that a 10% rate of return?
No.
Not unless he gives me my money back at the end of it.
Nope. I'm giving you money back all along the way. That's what that is. Luann, I hope that was helpful. We're out of time for this hour. If you need the Brain Trust off the air, guys like Professor Plum or any of the Brain Trust advisors at Lucia Capital Group, their phone number off the air, 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150. For Professor Rick Plum, I am Johnny Dean. This is Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities LLC. In the information presented, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.